Once again, we bless the name of the Lord for this privilege he has given to us to worship him. The service has begun. We're going straight into the Sunday school. It's a session to study the Word of God. And I would like you this morning to bring out your writing materials, because the Holy Ghost has something very important to teach us this day. As we continue our journey from this earth to glory, we need understanding to be able to walk with our God. And that is why we study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. I think we are waiting. This morning we want to look at a topic that looks very, very funny. And yet, the Holy Ghost wants to pass very fundamental truths to us this morning. Very, very important message the Holy Ghost has in mind to pass. So please, I want to implore you not to allow anything to distract you. Not to allow anything to distract you. Just pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has in mind. As you look at the screen, you see the topic, understanding God's uppercut. What do we have? Can we echo it? Can you say it louder? Can you see it? Understanding God's uppercut, I said, is a topic that looks very, very funny. But God wants to pass very, very important truth to us this morning, even as we continue on our journey from earth to glory. It looks very funny, but it is a message to call our attention to the truth that the Christian life that we are called to live, that this Christian life is a life of battle. Can you tell somebody beside you that Christian life is a life of battle? It's never a bed of roses. It's never a bed of roses. Maybe a life of pleasures, extreme comfort, a tea party, enjoyment all through. That is number one truth. That when you come into Christianity, you have come to uphold a faith that is full of battle. It is a life that you have come to fight. In fact, the Christian life is war. That is why Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, excuse me, 2 Timothy, I beg your pardon, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy. He said, I have fought. And I say, it is a fight. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is Apostle Paul. And he also instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 12. He said, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight. Say, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight. Even in Ephesians 6, 12, he said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Fight. Even Jude was admonishing us in Jude 3. He said, contend. It is a faith of contention. It's a faith of fight. Battles. He said, the weapon of our warfare. I know what? Actor Kana. The weapon of our warfare. It is a life of war. And this truth must be what? Must be well established. Because there are so many gospels that present Christianity to you as when you come to Christ, everything will just begin to be rosy. And when you enter and you begin to see the truth, many have run back to their vomit. So that is number one truth. This is why this topic is being taken. And the second truth is that this battle that you have come to face when you come to Christianity, it is not a physical battle. It's not what? It's not a physical battle. It is what? A spiritual battle. That is why you must know how to focus. Many people in this battle, they put their attentions on their uncles, on their aunties, on their neighbors. Little did they know that is not the ultimate battle they are to fight when they come to Christianity. That is number two. Number three truth, for which reason this topic is given, is that the prime enemy, the arch enemy of your enemy in this battle is what? Is Satan. Praise the Lord. The devil will be exposed this morning. And when it is exposed, I'm telling you, you will gain victory over him in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It is a spiritual battle. The enemy, your arch enemy, is who? Satan. That is why 1 Peter 5:8 makes it clear. He said, be sober, be vigilant. He said what? Your adversary. Who? The devil. So you must have it so that you know where to focus. And another truth you need to know is that this your arch enemy is a what? A stubborn, a tireless. He know the tire. He's a tireless, stubborn, and ruthless enemy. He does not accept defeat on time. You must have this at the back of your mind. That's why if you read Luke 4:13, after see the temptation he gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will think after the temptation, he will just surrender. What does he say? And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for what? Was it forever? For what? For a season. Meaning that he will come again. It's not tiring. It's a tireless, stubborn, ruthless enemy of your faith. You must know that. And finally, is that for you to conquer him, to defeat him, you must be well prepared with your weapons. You must what? You must be well prepared with what? Weapons. To be able to defeat him in this faith. Remember, the ultimate goal while you are in Christianity is for what? The salvation of your soul. And its main target is not about primarily your finances, your health, your marriage, your relationship. Its primary target against you is your eternal destination. When this your body is put off, where that soul goes to, it is his target. Is he going to hell or heaven? He cannot go back to heaven. He has been cast down. He doesn't want you to go. So this is his primary aim at you. Not all this. Our daddy in the Lord has said that when the devil is attacking you, maybe your finances, does he want your money? When he's attacking your marriage, does he want to marry your wife or marry your husband? No. He wants to shift your focus. Praise the Lord. So it is on the strength of this truth that this message is being given. That you should know you are called into a life of battle, and it is a spiritual battle. And your arch enemy is the devil, and he's a grandmaster. He's a professional when it comes to fighting battle. He's experienced. And you that you are to contend with him, you must be well prepared, having your weapons ready to be able to defeat him. And this morning, we want to look at a very, very potent weapon to counter the devil. This morning, we shall counter him, and we shall experience defeat. We shall experience victory over Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. I said your aim of coming to Christ, your aim of being in Christianity, your primary aim, which is your eternal destination. As you have come to this faith, that aim of reigning with Christ when he shall come and be in eternity, it shall be actualized in the name of Jesus Christ. The topic, God's uppercut. Uppercut is a device, is a strategy. Uppercut is a type of a punch that is used in boxing or combat sports, martial arts, that is used to destroy the defenses of opponents and give it a knockout. Let's read the introduction. So uppercut is a strategy that is used or employed in a combat sport to catch opponent off guard, especially when they are trying to attack or deceive from a distance. Combat sports. Those in judo, in karate. Uppercut is a common language. That is what is used when it is applied. The enemy, the opponent is in trouble. And now, God has uppercuts. And as we progress, we know. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is the first prophecy in the Bible. And the prophecy is about a battle. Just to let somebody know that the faith you are called to uphold, the Christian life you are called to live, is a life of battle. The first ever prophecy in the Bible is a what? It's about a battle. Can we read? Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity. I will put what? Enmity. I will put trouble between what? Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This scripture, except a newcomer, our daddy in the law has expanded it. We are well granted as far as the understanding of this scripture is concerned. We know that that scripture, put it on the screen. Let's have that scripture. In case somebody is joining us for the first time, I will put enmity between thee. That is the spiritual serpent. It is not the physical. It's Satan that is being addressed here. If you want to get a proper understanding, you go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. It is the spiritual serpent, which is the Satan. And he said, he will put enmity between thee. Revelation 12:2. You know, it is well explained. For you to know that the she there is not talking about Mary, it's not talking about Eve, it's talking about Lou. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Go to verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. Who is this man-child? Who is this man-child? Jesus. Who was to rule? We know that scripture. The woman there is who? The woman there is who? Put your hands together for yourself. You are wonderful students. We are granted as far as that scripture is concerned. The woman there is Israel. And the son of the woman is who? Jesus Christ. So, the serpent there is Satan, and his children is the Antichrist. Antichrist. Christ is what God is using to redeem his children back to him. The Antichrist are what the Satan is using to oppose the redemption of mankind. So it is a battle. He said he will put enmity. Can you see the beginning of our battle? The Israel, we are the spiritual Israelite. It is a battle. Now, Let's go back to the slide. We are going to move very quickly now. I just want to establish that it is, look at the beginning of this battle. And this battle is not physical, it's spiritual. Say, I will put, from that scripture, okay, let's continue from here. Let's continue from there. Say, from that scripture, it is clear that it is a battle between God and Satan. God is interested in your soul. Satan is also interested to take you to hell. But God wants you to have relationship eternally with him. Can you see the battle? One of the reasons God has always defeated Satan, pay attention here, is because of his what? Attribute of foreknowledge. What is foreknowledge? What is foreknowledge? Knowing things in advance. Knowing things in advance, what your enemies is planning against you, if you have known it, will you still be defeated? If you know an armed robber is coming to attack you, won't you put your house in order and put all the security apparatus? That is foreknowledge. And you can see in Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10. Let's just read verse 10. Isaiah 46, 10. Declaring, this is our goal, the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. It is an attribute. That is why devil cannot defeat God. Because before he's planning it in his heart, God knows the end. And God, we being the children of God, with this teaching, God will make us to know our own uppercut. The thing we need to know to be able to defeat Satan so that he will not take advantage of us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you also read Acts of Apostles chapter 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows the end. That's why we call it the Ancient of Days. He knows the end from the beginning. Now, his ability to know what the devil is planning in advance put him in advantageous position to get ready his uppercut. And that is what we want to learn this morning. That we need to have ability, revelation of what the devil is doing around us so that he will not be able to take advantage of us. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. God knew the devil would take control of the human race. He knew that the devil will take advantage. Hope you know that the mankind was taken over by Satan. That Satan perverted the first creation of God through Adam. And that is why the life that we live before we came into Christ, we were manifesting satanic character. We were created in the image of God. We are supposed to bring forth fruit after our kind, which is God. But what happened? Is God a liar? Is God a thief? Is God a fornicator? That is why Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, 40, 44. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He's a murderer. He said, ye have your father, the what? The devil. And the lust of your father, ye will do. That first creation of God was perverted by Satan. But God knew that he will do. Devil will do that because of that foreknowledge. What did God do? We call that perversion of the first creation by devil, we call it mystery of what? Iniquity. We can find it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The mystery of iniquity. That is how devil took over human race. But God knew it would happen. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Mystery of iniquity. How Satan took over mankind, perverted the nature of mankind, and making them to manifest satanic character rather than in the image of God. That is the mystery. How the strategy that the devil used, the devices that he used, and we call it, it's a mystery. We were, every member of this show we have been taught, we understood the mystery. So it's not strange to us. But God knew he would do that. What did God do? He countered it. He used his uppercut. He used his uppercut to defeat him. Through which mystery did God use? There is a name that is given to that, and there is a scripture. What mystery did God use to counter mystery of iniquity? Put your head together for yourself. Which mystery from the man's side? Mystery of what? Godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. How God also used his own uppercut strategy. The spirit, the great eternal spirit, coming down, becoming a man. Let's read it. Let's read it. Let's read the scripture. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory. This is a mystery. We are also well grounded as far as this scripture is concerned. How God Almighty came down, searching for you and I, to rescue us from that, from the perversion that the devil has caused through Adam. Praise the Lord. Can you, are we learning? It is the uppercut. God knew devil will do it. He made provision for that, for his strategy. Let's read on. Similarly, God knew the devil will take control of the whole human race through the mystery of iniquity. Okay, we are reading. He made provision for the mystery of godliness, as we see 1 Timothy 3:16, Revelation 13, that is from the foundation of the world. God knew to counter Satan's attack. The next slide. The next slide. So also, God knew Satan. Pay attention here because we are Christians today. So also, God knew Satan will take over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ through the mystery Babylon and the mother of harlots. I know we are grounded here, but let me to be sure. Who is the mystery Babylon? Who is the mystery Babylon? I can't hear you. God bless you. Put your hands together for yourself. The Roman Catholic Church. When you read Revelation 17, verse 5, it says, the mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots. Let's read Matthew 33, verse 13. I know we are grounded in this scripture, but I'm eating towards a point. Matthew, look at the woman. Look at what she did to take over the church of the Lord. He said, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman, and like we have said, it's the Roman Catholic Church, took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This is how the word of eternal life was corrupted. The church of Jesus Christ was taken over and became another church. And everything that was contrary to the doctrines of the law were perverted. The same way he used the serpent to corrupt human race, he used that woman to corrupt the word of the law, the word of salvation, the word of eternal life. Praise the Lord. But God's foreknowledge, will the devil succeed? Will the devil defeat God? He could not, because God knew that Satan will use that church to do that. And see the uppercut once again. See the uppercut. See the strategy. See the device that God used to counter it. He provided for the mystery. Ministry of what? I can't hear you. Restoration. Ministry of restoration. And that is what we're going to dwell on. Everything I've said earlier is not new to the members of this church. Our daddy in the Lord has preached about it. Pastor Olumide has. But from here, I want us to pay attention. The ministry of restoration. That what the devil has destroyed, God allowed it to happen for a purpose. And see what God has done to restore it. Put your hands together for the Lord. No demon, no Satan can destroy or defeat the purpose of God. And so also, no demon, no uncle, no altar, no shrine can stop the purpose of God in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Before we get there, because the gate of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hope you are seeing the battles. How the devil is coming up with his battle, and you are seeing how God, through his foreknowledge, is defeating him. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. Let us know that the gate of hell, the Antichrist spirit will come against the church, but because of the foreknowledge, the uppercut of the law, it shall not prevail. Now let's look at some of the attack of Satan against the church, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has prophesied in that scripture. And let's see how God, using his uppercut, to counter it. Look at the gate of hell. This is the Satan attack against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord has prophesied that they will come. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Revelation, see the attack. Revelation chapter 6. And I saw and behold a white horse. This white horse is a strategy. It's an attack of the enemy against the church of Jesus Christ to destroy it. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went for conquering and to conquer. When the church started, see the attack. And I want us to pay attention, because we are looking at uppercut, a strategy, a weapon to use to defeat Satan. Look at his attack against the church. When the church started, devil was busy persecuting the church, scaring people not to come to church. Once upon a time, Satan was scaring people from coming to church, because he knows when they come to church at that era, they will be saved. He was scaring them, persecuting them up and down. That is what is depicted by that white horse. He was persecuting them, because the church was restoring, was saving, was fulfilling the purpose for which Jesus Christ came, for the salvation of mankind. And he's against it, he's Antichrist. And what was he doing? Scaring people. But that strategy that he was using was not achieving the result that he wanted. The device that he was using, he has an aim, he has a goal. He was not getting the desired result by him. What did he do? He changed strategy. That is why the Bible says, he said, the weapons of our warfare. He did not say a weapon. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Please read. Because what we want to learn is a weapon. It's an uppercut to defeat Satan in this journey to glory. For the weapons. Did he say for the weapon? To let you know, for you to counter, to defeat your arch enemy, the devil, you need to be well equipped with weapons, not ordinary weapons. But remember, they are not physical weapons. They are not bullets. They are not machine guns. They are not the nuclear bomb of this world. Praise the Lord. If devil is changing his strategy, changing his weapon, it means believer who is determined to go to heaven must be changing his weapon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When at that time that strategy was not working, he changed his device. Let's read out same Revelation chapter 6. Let's move to verse 3. See the device. Revelation chapter 6. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went another horse. See another strategy. another horse that was what? Red. And power was given to him, to the Antichrist, that sat there on to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. We have been taught well here in this ministry that this is a symbolic language. And what it means is that a strategy that the devil changed. So, according to the church history, which we have verified, that at this era, what was he doing? That was the age of what? Of what? Martyrdom. It was what? Killing them in numbers, in millions. And what was his goal? To stop the purpose for. Praise the Lord. The devil is in trouble this morning. I said Satan is in trouble this morning. His strategy against you will not be fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you will know something this morning that will wake something inside of you that make you to guard against his antics and to record victories as you journey to glory. Praise the Lord. So, he changed his strategy by what? By killing in millions. People coming to Christ for salvation. People believe in Jesus. He was killing them. But what happened? His purpose, his aim was not achieved. Once upon a time, he was killing believers in millions. And his aim to stop the purpose for which Jesus came was not achieved. I told you he's a stubborn fighter. He's a veteran. He's a grandmaster, a professional in this field. He did not succeed. What did he do again? He changed strategy. Once upon a time, this Bible we see was withdrawn from Christians so that they will not see the light. The word of the Lord is a lamp. Once the word is withdrawn, you will grow up in darkness. He withdrew the Bible. The next scripture, verse 4. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. I'm in a very fast lane. And when he had opened the third sea, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. We have been well tutored as far as these seals. I just want to bring out a point, and the point is, devil is changing strategy. He's changing weapons. If he was not tired in today, what strategy is he using against you, against me? That is what I have come to emphasize. If he was changing strategy to achieve aim and he could not succeed, rapture has not taken place. What strategy is he using this day against you? And until you are able to discover this, you won't be able to be armed to overcome him when he comes to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He could not. He withdrew the Bible. He covered the word of the Lord, the light of the world, for a period of 1,000 years. History has it. We are well tutored. It's another strategy. He was carrying them. He did not succeed. He was killing. He did not succeed. He withdrew the light. That is what he did. Depicted by that dark horse. He did not succeed because God countered it. If you read in the slide, God countered the white horse by releasing the anointing of the lion, a lion's anointing, which is anointing of boldness. Counter attack. He came with his attack. God, having his uppercut, through foreknowledge, he knew what he would do, prepared for a counter attack. Counter-attack is very deadly. Those people who are lovers of football, they know how deadly it is. And that is why every Christian should have counter-attack. When he comes, before he even comes, you already have it ready. You know what to give to him. See how he countered the red horse. Revelation 4:7. See the various anointing that God used to counter devil. He came with an attack. God came with counter-attacks. It is a lie. It is a life of battle. It's a life of war, fight. It is not butter and bread when you come to this faith. I don't know how you came
whether it is another gospel, but I want to tell you this morning, it is a life of battle, but there is a joy of it. I will let you know as I'm landing. The calf, he used it to canter the red horse. That is sacrificial anointing, body bearing anointing. He was killing them, yes, they are willing to die for their faith. Many people became Christian because of this anointing. If this one could die, then who am I not to die? And he was ashamed. He withdrew the Bible that is depicted by the black horse, total darkness. And the face, there is the anointing of intellect, study. God released it to canter. That is what? That is the anointing that was released, if you read that Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. And when he said that, Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, a measure of white, of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou art not the oil and the wine. In the midst of this darkness in Christianity, there was a revival. There was what? A revival. Put your hands together for the upper court of our God. It is an upper court that God used to canter. Devil will have his way, but he will not have his way forever. He will come, but if you follow the teaching of the Lord Jesus, you will defeat him. So he could not succeed. From the white horse to the red horse to the black horse, the strategy against the church of Jesus Christ. And see how God canter. The paid horse is a strategy he used against the Israel, the Jews. So, but I'm limited, this teaching is limited to you and I. So, the strategy he used for against the church from the beginning of the church to this present time is the white horse, the red horse, the black horse. And see how God has countered it through the lion anointing, the calf anointing, and the anointing that is signified as the face of a man. That is intellect. Study to show yourself approved as a workman who needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word, the word of truth. Truth. You know history. How Martin Luther, how he was able to discover, said the just shall live by faith. We are well grounded. Now, look at the ministry of restoration. Ministry of restoration. How God canter everything that the devil destroyed about the salvation of mankind. All those who the world that he corrupted. See how God restored it. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Verse 27. Pay attention to this parable. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how it's going to happen. When he, verse 28. He said, for the earth bringeth forth of herself. What's the first thing when you plant the seed into the ground? What's the first thing? The blade. Next to it is what? The air. And what? After that, the full corn in the air. This is a parable. But thank God for what God is doing in this assembly. Thank God for the fatherlight. We know, I want us to know this morning, that this understanding this parable is a sign to what God is doing in this age, to what God is doing in this moment. The blade is the first thing that signifies, the first thing that God restored. The woman doing what? Corrupted that world by eating. He said the word of God. He said he eat it in a level. The justification. Three words of grace. That was the first thing. The justification was the first thing that God restored. The just shall live by faith. Before that time, all manners of things was going on in the church of Jesus Christ. Until God cantered that nonsense with this revelation. The just shall live what? By faith. That is depicted by the blade. God is a restoration move until everything is restored. The owner of the kingdom will not come. After justification is restored, everything that was destroyed was not yet restored. What next? The heir. Without holiness. Without what? Holiness. No man shall see the Lord. Holiness was restored. It was restored into the church. That is sanctification. That was not yet the end of what the devil destroyed. What next? The full corn in the air. And that is when there was the gift that we are seeing in the church today, that our prophet will call your phone number. They will know the secret of the enemy. When the church started, that gift was what? In operation. But the church was growing. There was a time that it was no more due to what the devil did. God countered it by that restoration. By that restoration of that gift, the full corn in the air. We know about the Azusa Street Revival. It was restored. When the full corn in the air, the restoration is not yet total. What is the next thing? Let's read that scripture. Mark chapter 4, verse 28. The totality was for verse 28, okay. After that, the full corn in the air, when that fruit is brought forth, there is still something that needs to be done. It is not immediately that you brought forth the fruit that you harvest. The fruit needs to be what? Ripened. Because the owner, the person that planted that seed, before he will come, he must see exactly what he planted. So the fruit must be ripened for that same seed that was planted to be seen. So the age we are in now is the ripening of the fruit. Justification has been restored. Sanctification has been restored. The gift has been restored. The fruit is brought forth. When the fruit is brought forth, bread of Christ all over the world. When the fruit is brought forth, how do you know? You can see the picture. When the fruit is brought forth, justification has been restored, sanctification has been restored, the gift has been restored. Now the fruit, how do you know when the fruit has been restored? Jesus knew the church that they planted on the day of Pentecost. Now, it is when you see a church that is doing exactly what that church that was planted on the day of Pentecost, what they were doing, when you can see a group of people doing exactly what they were doing, when you can see a group of people baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, when you can see a group of people not ordaining their wives as pastors, when you can see a group of people using their gifts for the work of the ministry and not asking you for money, when you can see a group of people not preaching Trinity because Trinity was not there from the beginning, when you can see a group of people saying you must not dress to church anyhow, not saying it does not matter gospel, when you can see a group of people that is preaching that gain is not godliness, because we have people that are preaching today that gain is godliness, that the evidence that you are with Christ is that you are prospering. It was not so from the beginning. When you can see a group of people telling you that the rapture has begun, people pointing you to the cross, not pointing you to yourself. When you can see a group of people telling you, come back to the totality of the word of God. Not one saying holiness and reject the gifts. Not one saying baptize in the name of Jesus Christ and forsake every other doctrine. When you can see a group of people, Mark chapter 4, verse 29. It is a sign, but not many people. Mark chapter 4, verse 29. It is a sign that many people have not yet caught the revelation. Said, but when the fruit is brought forth, what happened? Immediately he put it in the sickle. Because what? The harvest is come. It means that the harvest is near. I have come this morning that here the religious world might be blind to this scripture. Even many in the end time message cycle might be blind to that scripture. Many people today will say it is a sign that Jesus Christ gave, as it was in the day of the Noah, in the day of the Lord, so shall it be. So today, when we see LGBT, we know the coming of the Lord is close. But what about this scripture? What about this scripture? We, I'm speaking to us this morning and the bride of Christ all over, that you have come here, it is a great sign that God has given to you. Give it to me, that when we come here and we see the totality of the word of God displayed, we see the restoration of the gifts, we see the manifestation of the gift, we see a church that is not owned by a man. You see the truth of the word being preached without any reservation. It is not for you to just be rejoicing in the anointing. It's for you to know that summer is near. It's for you to know that it's coming, it's so close. It's for you to know that devil is strategy against you. His attack against you will be very fierce in this hour. It's for you to know that now you should begin to tighten your belt, to guide your loins, because summer is near. Summer is near. That many people, many temptations will be coming. Many temptations will be coming now than ever. And if you are not discerning, if you are not revelated, you will take some favor you see and you are giving testimony. It's actually a temptation of the devil that you are falling into. That you are falling into it and you are giving testimony. And you don't know, it is a strategy of the devil to bring you into his kingdom. Jesus Christ says, he said, the prince of this world cometh, but have nothing in me. This morning, this is a revelation that the hour we are in, we are supposed to be like Daniel. In chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, when he discovered that they have already spent 68 years out of the 70 years allotted for them in the captivity, what is his disposition? What is his disposition to God? He began to pray, to align himself to God's promises. Now, more than ever before, bride of Christ worldwide, we are in error that if you are praying 1 hour before, you are supposed to be praying 7 hours. If you are fasting once in a day, in a week, you are supposed to increase it, because the devil, the adversary, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. He said, your adversary, the devil, is what? He's roaring, moving up, seeking how to devour. He's not attacking your business to take over your business. He's not attacking your finances or your health or your marriage to take over. His primary goal is to make sure you do not end up with Jesus. Is to bring you down to hell. And that is why you need uppercuts. And your uppercut is a revelation of what he's doing against you and what Jesus Christ has made available for you to overcome him. Devil will not take advantage of you. 2 Corinthians 2:11 said, we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not. And you should not be ignorant. Know his strategies. Change your own weapons as he's changing weapons, so that you will defeat him. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 16:33, he said, in the world, you will face tribulation. Tribulation. Christianity is full of battles. It's full of war and fight. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. You have no reason to be defeated. God will give you grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow down our head and begin to appreciate God for his word. God has uppercut. He has released uppercut for you to defeat, to counter devil. You will not be defeated. Pray and let God reveal the uppercut he has given to you to be able to overcome him.
In Jesus' name, we have prayed. If you've been blessed by that teaching, can you put your hands together for the Lord? That's, if you permit me, that's the gospel according to Spot. The greatest of all time in uppercut is Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's uppercut was so deadly. There was a particular match, I've forgotten who his opponent was. The uppercut of Mike Tyson knocked him out instantly. So imagine that God has an uppercut. Who will be able to resist God's uppercut? Then the next word our teacher used is counter-attack. That one, almost everybody that watches football, you know the meaning of counter-attack. Where the enemy is coming. The opponents are coming, and it's as if they are already having the upper hand. Maybe they stroke, and instead of hitting the goal, the defender or the keeper or anybody defended it, and then the tide turned around. So now you came to attack us, but we defended. Now we are going to score, and we scored successfully. I want to bring this even home. Our teacher was teaching in terms of salvation, but generally, that is how God deals with his children. Before any problem comes your way, God has made a way of escape. No, it's the truth. See 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That is why, for those of us that were here on Friday night, we spoke about faith in action. You must understand that all things work together for good to the children of God. See what he says. He says, there is no temptation taking you. No trial, no difficulty, but such as is common to man. Now, see what the Bible says. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. But with that temptation also, with that trouble, with that problem, with that situation, it says what? He will provide a counter attack. No, somebody did not see it. Somebody did not see it. No, we are still reading. He said what? He will make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That's why when any difficulty or problem comes your way, the reaction is not to give up or cry. The reaction is prayer. If you don't pray, you will not know that God has a counter attack for you. God will never allow us to be overcome by any problem. Look at the story of Moses and the children of Israel. Caught up between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. Naturally speaking, there was no way to escape. The children of Israel started crying and complaining, but Moses did not complain. He cried to God. And God told him, why are you crying? Look beyond that sea. I have made a way for you. So when any problem comes your way, know that God has a counter attack. And you will only see that counter attack if you rise in faith through prayers. And the Lord will make a way for escape in the name of Jesus. Once again, let's put our hands together for the living God. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Let's be on our feet as we greet members of our family.